through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? How are you two? How the both of you?
We're very good.
I'm fantastic, actually. Thanks.
I kind of like the reverb on your mic there. You sound a bit like the voice of God or something.
Has been said before. I'm in my kitchen today. I've got quite a janky setup. Maybe I'll put on my shout out to my Instagram. I'll put a photo up on my Instagram account of this mic setup. It's kind of cool.
Please, I just wanted
some natural light. You know, I'm doing all my work in the garage at the moment.
Nice.
It's too dark and dusty.
Yeah, you need it. You need to get out. Feel the rain on your face or whatever that's
exactly.
On. Exactly.
Feel the rain on your skin, I think it is, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I stand corrected. I do. Hey, it's been a massive week for the media since we spoke to you last, Tim. What's going on out there? It's a bit of a bit
nothing
of the
good.
Wild West.
Yeah, the technical term is a shitstorm.
Yes.
Just after we spoke on Wednesday, I think it was actually the very next morning, Bauer announced that it was shutting down. 237 jobs gone. Just to refresh, people have probably already heard this, but it's Metro, The Listener, Women's Day, New Zealand Women's Weekly, North and South, and Next magazines. It represents a huge portion of our media landscape. Mm. Magazines are really important, but often overlooked as sort of a cultural... thing of importance in a country. And unfortunately, a big slew of ours are gone. And I mean, The Listener's been around for something like 80 years in this country.
Mm. Yeah.
The flow-on effects have been, or sort of the sort of downstream story as this is unfolding has been kind of interesting as well. Bauer is owned by a German conglomerate who made the decision to shut the doors, and the directors blamed COVID. But our Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern made a surprisingly strong and for her like surprisingly political move by coming out and saying that really wasn't the case.
Mm.
And argued that the directors basically were taking the COVID opportunity to shutter these media assets because it wasn't making them enough money.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, she and other members of Cabinet, Chris Farfoy, have been arguing that they actually tried to convince Bauer Media to take the wage subsidy that the government was offering, and that they were in separate conversations with Bauer because they had at least some understanding of how dire the circumstances were. But the German sort of board of directors or the management here locally at Bauer refused to take them up on that. Either way, we've got over 200 people who were working in media now without jobs.
And some phenomenal writers as well. That is a huge scope of things, but like there is a lot of really important stories that have been broken through those magazines. There's a lot of really, I think those magazines represent spaces where stories that don't have other platforms get shared, and that's something that is going to be hugely felt, I think.
That is such a good point, because the kinds of journalism and writing that was happening at these magazines is different to the kind of writing that is sucking all the money out through Facebook and Google ads. Like a lot of the online stuff is hyper consumable, it's small, it's cheap to produce, it's very fast. It doesn't take a lot of research. The things that are in magazines often are, they're on a slow burn. These writers take sometimes weeks or even months to put these investigative pieces together. Feature writing isn't necessarily investigative journalism, but it's a slow process that requires really skillful writing and a long time to put these beautiful pieces together. And these magazines were the home of that kind of writing, and now, sadly, as I say, a large portion of them in New Zealand are gone.
And of course, like we've seen in the last 13 days of this Rahui period, that magazines are actually lifelines for certain communities, because we've seen magazines in small rural areas be allowed to be essential services because that is how some people get their news or get their information about what's going on. So this is actually, I think, you know, I've seen a little bit of discussion online about the role of the magazine and like what it means, but I think you make a really good point, Tim, that actually magazines are really influential, and they're also disregarded often as being sort of superfluous, maybe, or something that's like a bit unnecessary, which is just so not the case.
Yeah, totally. I think people can sort of colour the whole magazine industry with a brush that they pick up reserved for sort of trashy entertainment magazines, and it's just, it's not the case.
It's not representative.
There's other bad stuff going on, though,
oh, great.
As you would expect. Well, since we last spoke, a slew of columnists has been let go as well all over the place, and it's particularly been noted, and I I'm not sort of reading any intentionality into this, but I think it's just happenstance that they seem to be on the left side of politics. David Slack at the Sunday Star Times has been let go as a regular columnist. David Cormack, who's a former political staffer and PR man at the New Zealand Herald, has been let go. So has Jared Gilbert, who's a criminal justice focused sociologist. He's been let go from the Herald as well. As a result, the Sunday Star Times, in their last issue last weekend, had a whole bunch of pieces from guest writers, everyone from the Reserve Bank governor to the New Zealand Initiative chair, Roger Partridge, who's that's like a sort of right-wing economic and political think tank, and Chloe Swarbrick and Judith Collins, which, I mean, it's a high calibre of contributing writers, but it doesn't quite seem tenable to just have people, you know, truly fill up the whole newspaper with their very coloured points of view. Like, we need some objective and separated independent opinion makers here. So it's like a little bit of a concerning trend, which you know, doesn't seem tenable in the long term. There was a really great piece that came out yesterday from Duncan Grieve in The Spin-Off, who's an excellent media analyst and commentator, and he noticed that there seemed to be, in the last issue of the Sunday Star Times, just four paid ads in the whole paper, and two of them were from the government, from government departments, which just showcases how much ad revenue has dried up.
And
MediaWorks employees have been asked to take a 15% pay cut for 6 months.
Not and I can tell you, anywhere is it?
I know. Well, especially like me, people working at MediaWorks have not been earning big bucks at any point in the last like 10 years. And believe it or not, for them to take a 15% pay cut is actually pretty significant when a lot of them are on the bones of their ass as it is. The NZME chief executive wrote last week to brace people for staff cuts that were coming. I mean, Sky TV is like uniquely screwed because they've been losing subscribers for years and years and years, and they kind of bet the house on sports, which have now all been cancelled. So Sky, I'm not sure how many people Sky TV employs in New Zealand, but I imagine, you know, it wouldn't be an insignificant number. But I'm not sure how they would get out of this mess. MediaWorks is uniquely screwed because they've been in a precarious financial position for ages. And we've got some very frustrated executives at NZME and Stuff who have been blocked for the last 2 years from doing a merger. Stuff's owned by Nine Entertainment, which is an Australian corporation, and NZME has been trying to buy the asset since 2018, but it's been blocked by the Commerce Commission because they want sort of a larger media, more diverse media landscape in New Zealand. They don't want that constriction. But both sides have been arguing that consolidation was needed, and tragically, it looks like through this crisis, they've probably been proved right. And now the government is faced with a super, super difficult position where they're kind of now, I mean, I don't know any other way to look at it, they're sort of going to have to choose who lives and who dies in the media landscape.
Oh, it's like the Hunger Games.
It is. It's really brutal and ruthless. One of the more interesting solutions that I saw floated, and I am quoting Duncan Grieve's piece in The Spin-Off yesterday, which is called The Next Bower, which people should look up if they're interested in this stuff. Apparently it's been floated. One possible solution is the government just makes a huge ad buy across the board, which serves as a massive injection of cash for all these media organisations, and the government can kind of use their ad spend over a long period of time. So at least they're kind of buying something, and it's not weird free money, or, you know, there's a value exchange that is occurring there. So that's kind of interesting. As I close off, I need to make a plea that for the few people listening who are in a position to, who are like doing okay and maybe their livelihoods haven't been threatened at the moment, if you are consuming media, please look at ways to support it. BFM's got B cards, Spin-Off's got a members program, The Herald's got subscriptions. Places like Pantograph Punch, which do really high quality arts journalism and writing and review.
Totally.
They need your help.
That is very true. Good point there.
Yeah.
Tim, it's a bleak one, but it's going to be a really, I think, interesting road ahead to see how the government kind of tries to manage this, because it's a massive mammoth of a thing, eh?
Yeah, totally. And it'll just, I don't know how they're going to do it without looking like a bunch of communists nationalizing the media landscape. It's going to be really, I don't envy their position. Chris Farfoy's in a really tricky position.
Yep, that's a big one. Hey, Tim, it's been a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you to everybody who's texted in as well. Lots of great texts rolling through. Someone said, effing great segment, love it. So there you go, Tim.
Oh, thanks, mates. Hey, sorry it's a bit bleak this week, but, you know, that's not your fault, that's just what's happening.
Hey, when's the next happening show?
Oh, Friday morning. Excellent. 9 a.m. if I'm on time, which is a big if. Probably 9:30, realistically.
We had one
last night, and it was a bit messy, but a lot of fun.
That sounds like a very good time. Hey, cheers, Tim. We'll talk to you again next week.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
See ya.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. And